Good morning, everyone. This is Milt Cotter in Dallas, and it's kind of a cloudy day here with a little rain anticipated this afternoon, but I don't think we have the bad weather that some of the people up in the north experienced since yesterday. I want to welcome you all to our session today, and just kind of to cover a few little housekeeping matters with, if I may. As you know, we do have another session the 21st of December, a week from Friday, and then that will be the last session of this year. Now, housekeeping matters, I have suggested to David Byrd and that we probably keep up a Friday session at 11 o'clock and start it up again after the first of the year in order to just kind of let us know of questions and issues in advance, and we can sort of answer those on the Friday sessions, or we would have topics as well for people that want to continue to listen in. So I will be announcing something on that next Friday. Another thing that I would like to make you aware of, we talked a little bit about the fact that we would be originating a training course that will be 8-week teleconference training course for clients. And these are companies or employers who use our systems and their people, or people who are in the client world that are thinking about using our systems. And that would launch in 2008. Well, those 8 sessions and the dates and all that have been set. They will officially launch in 2008, and we will be announcing that as far as the actual physical dates in more detail in concert with our website information like you're looking at today. It'll be on there by next week. But basically, we're going to start those sessions, and they will begin in January, and they'll begin, I believe it is Tuesday the 22nd of January, and they'll be at 11 o'clock. They will be sold at a fee of $395 per participant to our client companies. We mentioned this, that we would be doing a open version of this. What will happen is that it'll be every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time for 8 weeks. Each session will be recorded. At the end of each session, it will have a test for people to take, and then those test scores will accumulate over 8 weeks to a final score, and people who do pass with at least 80 out of 100 points will receive a certificate, as we have done in the past through our online university. These sessions will run in concert with the university that we operate, and that will mean that people will actually have the study materials through the university, and we will also be able to keep up with them in any areas that they don't pass on the test. We can, through the university, tell them what to go back and study, but ultimately we hope to graduate everyone that starts into that course. And we will also be recording those Friday sessions, which will mean that people that are enrolled in the course, not Friday, but Tuesday sessions, people that are involved in those sessions that miss, say, Tuesday, will be able to listen to it online and get to the materials online and be able to keep up with a full 8-week course, even if they miss sessions. As far as the actual live sessions, that won't keep them from successfully completing the course. So that course will be for employers, and it will start up on the 22nd of January, a Tuesday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, and progress for 8 weeks, and will result in certification in the use of the achiever in that employer's organization. We'll cover the aspects of the background on testing, legality and validity of testing, and the achiever. We'll cover benchmarking, that sort of thing, in the first 2 sessions. Then in the middle sessions, sessions, we'll cover into depth on the achiever, the mental aptitudes and the behaviors. We'll go into how some of the aptitudes and behaviors do come together, not 100% of the time, but how we do see behaviors relating to each other and the effects thereto, and then in the last sessions we'll go into more of the reporting requirements that the EEOC requires of some companies and the OFCC. And so it'll be a great course for employers. We've had requests from employers for it. We're petitioning SHRM to accredit it. They've accredited anything, just virtually anything we've asked them to before, so we don't doubt that they'll accredit this as well. So anyway, that'll launch, as I said, in January. And it will be employer enrollments, and we will hopefully run probably in terms of about 24 people through it. We want to keep it to be a manageable level. Now, today's session, you can pick it up. If you don't have it up on your screen, just go to www.mylmi.biz, and the material is right there. I want to do a little bit of housekeeping first and bring back with me today someone you've met before, if you were on before. Stephen Bird is going to be on, and he's going to pick up on the session in just a few minutes today. And basically, when you met Steve before, and let me just remind you, he runs what we call the actual support operations in the company here in Dallas, and that means the people that are on the line that when employers or when you call in for help with using the technology, meaning the web technology, that department is who answers the questions. Now, that encompasses basically how people send people to be tested in the web, how they retrieve those results, and all of that kind of thing, how you can construct benchmarks through the web and access the industrial database and all that good stuff. So Steve's going to cover all of that, and then he's also, if there's time remaining, when he's covered that, then he'll go into, there's been some confusion over this question of people just haven't, they've been exposed to the concept of credits and they don't quite understand them. So he's going to go into that in great detail and try to help you understand that a little bit better. But it's really pretty simple. It's just something I don't think you're familiar with, and I think you'll pick up on it, though, pretty quick. And then, again, if there's more time permitting in this one-hour session, then he will start to open up and talk about a test report at a time and why they're different. In the event the hour doesn't permit all of that, then he'll cover the first two areas, and to everybody's hopeful satisfaction and understanding and the actual discussion in depth about individual tests, if time does not permit that for today, then what we will do is we will start the sessions in January, going into a week at a time on Friday at 11 and taking and looking at one test at a time and understanding it and everything about it. So we can use that if we need to with the sessions going forward in January, just to help you all be comfortable. So today's session, as we really officially open it up, will be my introduction of Stephen Bird, our head of support operations, and as I said, he'll be covering how to test people on the web, how to retrieve those results, and then moving into this credit issue, and cover again any questions on the benchmarking issues. We're doing that because of the quantity of requests for us to go back through that, and so that's where the focal point on this session will be today. Before I sign off, because I won't be on for any of the rest of the session, I'll be turning it over to Steve, do you have any questions of me before I turn it over to Steve? Okay. Steve, are you on?
Yes, I'm here, Milt.
Okay,
good morning, everyone.
I'm turning this over to you to go on with the session from here, and everybody have a good session today.
All right, thank you, Milt.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? First of all, I'd like to kind of open up the floor to see if anyone has any specific questions regarding pulling up the Achiever results or administering the Achiever, or questions about benchmarks, and then we'll kind of go through an overview of it after we hit some specific topics here.
Yes, this is Adam Golikowski. The question I have is, what is your recommendation on having participants take the Achiever live with a proctored session versus online? When we have a choice to do either, which would you think would be the most appropriate?
Well, it kind of, I would say that probably, ideally, you would have somebody sitting there, but it's definitely not necessary. The system's set up in such a way that it's hard for somebody to cheat on it.
I'm not referencing cheating. I'm referencing actually guiding and walking people through things like, you know, having 9B answers or 6 or 7, I think it's now 7 or something like that.
Well, it's not...
people understand what that means.
What you can do is you could... the system gives them instructions. If they can read the instructions, they shouldn't have a problem. And the majority of the test takers all take it by themselves. So I would say that if you could do that, if you've got someone that's going to come into your office, you can give them the Achiever, and then you could then move on to the interview process, or you could actually interview them and then have them take the Achiever. That's a good situation to have, but in reality, most of the time, these people are going to want to take it on their own time versus coming into an office.
Right, I have to apologize. I'm referring to using the Achiever as a measure of how a person currently fits into an organization. A person is already hired. We're not using the Achiever to make a hiring decision. I'm using the Achiever to help that individual know themselves better.
Okay. If they're going to be taking that in the office, it'd be good to be able to explain to them a few of the issues before they actually start it, such as the choose only 7 or less middle choice answers, and explain to them what the middle choice answer actually is. We have some people that get confused on that. They're thinking, well, what is a middle choice answer? Well, the easiest way to explain it to them is it's in the physical location, as opposed to, you know, what the meaning is. You can just tell them there's a top, a middle, and a bottom answer, since there's 3 answers on the personality section, and then make sure that they only choose 7 or less of the ones that are in the middle physical location.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. And a couple other things. Since they're going to be, if they're going to take it in the office, then you don't have to instruct them that they should be, you know, well rested and not have any disturbances while taking the assessment.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Adam. Any other questions? Okay. Let me give a few little pointers before I get into actually displaying the how to pull up the assessment and administer the assessment. I've had some people relate to me some questions regarding what's the best way to send a report via email to someone. My actual suggestion on that is to create it as a PDF, and there are several free PDF writers out there that you can download and use if you do not have the Adobe PDF Creator. One of them is by a company, and they call it Qt PDF, and I believe that is just www.qtepdf.com. And on that website, you can just download their free PDF Creator, install it, and then what you do is you'll pull the report up on your screen. And once you have the report pulled up, you just do a file and a print, and then for the printing selection, you select the PDF writer, and then it's going to ask you for a file name, and then that will output that assessment into the PDF. And for a lot of companies, they kind of get a little bit leery when you send an HTML attachment, so the PDF is really a better way to go. Couple other pointers regarding that in printing out the assessment in general is you'll want to turn off any headers or footers that you have when you try to print the assessment, and you do that in Internet Explorer by going to like I believe it's file and then page setup, and then there'll be two lines. There'll be one that says header and one that says footer, and you'll just clear that out. And then Firefox may work the same, except I think on Firefox, when you go in there to the page setup, you actually just tell it blank for the different headers and footers. I believe there may be actually four options in Firefox for that. Couple other points that have been brought to my attention. Firefox sometimes does not refresh the screen. And when I'm talking about that is if you go in view a report and select it, and let's say you want to view the score sheet. You view the score sheet, and then you want to view the report. Sometimes the report, when you click on that, it just brings sheet again. That's actually a problem we're encountering with Firefox itself. And the way you can correct that is when you go back to the report selection page where you actually select the test taker's name, if you will hit the F5 key or the refresh button on your browser, then you can pull up the report or the score sheet, whichever one you were trying to pull up. Another thing that has been brought to our attention is that if you hit the back button after you view the report or the assessment, the credits do not appear to have deducted. If you'll hit the refresh key on that page, you'll actually see that the credits have come off. It just hasn't updated that when you hit the back button.
Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, Linton Burks, I have a couple of quick questions for you.
Okay.
I haven't looked into this as much as I should have by now, but I will. On the new report, you have a hiring and a coaching report, right? As you do in the current system?
Well,
with Achiever?
On the Achiever, we've got a leadership and a sales knowledge section.
No, what I mean by that is that for existing people in the organization, you use a coaching report. For new people, you use a hiring report. Is that the same with the Achiever?
It's similar. We use personal development suggestions is what we call them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is on the report is personal development suggestions.
So but there is no separate hiring and coaching report?
No, there is not.
So it's really one report and that's it?
Correct.
Okay. The second thing is on the original report we had a norm suitability score to the position. And that, from what I see, has been eliminated from this particular Achiever report. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what was the reasoning behind that? Because a lot of times when people look at the report, they look at that score.
Okay. I can't actually answer that question. What I will do is I will deflect that to the end of the call, and then I'll have someone online that can. I deal more with the technical side as opposed to the report creation itself.
Okay. One last question on that then. You mentioned the PDF, the file WWQ.
Yeah,
does that particular site allow you to customize the first page or not?
Well, the PDF writer itself, the free version does not allow any customization.
Okay.
They sell, I believe, like a professional version, which I don't use that. I actually use Qt PDF at home, and then I use Adobe at the office. So I know I can modify on Adobe's, but I'm pretty sure that on the Qt PDF Pro version, you should be able to modify. What sort of customization on the first page are you needing to modify?
Well, on the current report, what I do is, because you guys sent it out with the profile logo and, you know, Leadership Management Incorporated, right?
Correct.
That's how the original report, I haven't seen a new one yet. I take that page off, and I insert a new page with 7.0 Professional.
Okay.
And it says prepared for, and I put the company.
Okay, which I'm pretty sure that you should be able to do that with the Qt PDF Pro version.
Okay. And I put the date, and I put the company, I put who it's for, and I put different things on it. So it looks customized from me.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, you should be able to do that. I know I can do that in Adobe, and I'm pretty sure that seems like a pretty simple thing to do. You're moving a page and inserting a new one.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. That should be easily done through the Qt PDF paid version.
Okay.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Do we have any other questions?
I have a question on the lead-up, and I'm not sure whether you're the right person to ask this, but you were referring to when people are going to take it online, it's helpful to let them know certain things.
Correct.
At LMI, we used to have an email that we would send out to people to watch out for, be sure to follow the directions in these areas and explained it and like that.
Exactly.
And I'm wondering if you have something like that available for us.
Some of our different clients, they do send out emails like that, and we can certainly generate something kind of like a sample that you can use for doing that. A lot of the companies will actually send out the instructions to the applicant in an email and explaining a little bit, especially with the personality section, telling them, you know, there's not any right or wrong answers, just that they need to, you know, just be honest and not try to outguess the test.
Right.
Another potential problem area that we see is sometimes people do not read the instructions for the perception section where you're matching the numbers. Some people will actually check the boxes next to the numbers that do not match as opposed to the ones that do match. A couple other things that we've encountered before, people saying, you know, they get started on this and then they get a phone call, so they get interrupted and then their time runs out on the section, so we have to make sure that they're aware to, you know, allow at least an hour of uninterrupted time. And all this is pretty much spelled out in the instructions that are on the website. They'll get a pop-up window on each page explaining the section, but it's a lot better for them also to get it in an email form.
Okay, and so will you be able to provide us a sample of something like
yes,
that?
Yes, I will generate something, and I'll put it on the website.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Does anyone else have any questions? Okay. Slight change that we're going to be making to the report is we're going to do a little bit of a resizing on the report, and this may or may not be important to you, but it has been suggested to us. The fonts seem to change quite a bit on some of the later pages, and we're going to make it more uniform.
Absolutely.
And we are also going to do a little bit of changing on the front page to make that where it's shifted down and centered properly, and that is something that we are in the process of working on, is make it a little bit more uniform.
And this is Adam Velikowski, by the way, and if you could, on the all the terms, mental acuity, business terms, memory recall, etc., when you get down to emotional DEV.
Yeah, we need to spell that out.
I think, yes, sir, thank you.
Yes. And does anyone else have any questions or suggestions on actually the way the report itself appears on their browsers? Or is anybody having any problems with that other than the jumping in the fonts?
This is Adam Golikowski again, and I do have a question. Is that both LMI folks have been around for a while. We're used to starting out the explanation of the meaning of the results of the profile with the score sheet first. I work off the score sheet first, and then following the score sheet, I go to individual items on the score sheet.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make a lot of difference to me, but if the score sheet were first, that would probably be interesting. Because it's a summary of pretty much everything.
Okay. What I'm doing is I'm jotting down that to put it down for a suggestion for the
program. Then I had another problem, and I don't know if it's me or if I need some help from other participants today, but I attempted to print the score sheet page in color, and I do have a color printer.
It's coming out in black and white, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yes, I noticed the same thing. I was trying to generate an actual color PDF of it the other day, and it's not coming out in color. One thing that I believe you can do, but I'll address this with the programmers to find out what we can do about getting that to actually print in color. You can actually do a screenshot. It's kind of a messy way to do it, but you can do a print screen on that and then paste it into something like the paint program, and then you can print it out then, and it will be in color, but it's not an easy way to do it.
Yes. Well, I'll wait till you guys fix it.
Exactly.
One more thing on the cover page, the other gentleman was referring to, on your cover page, when I don't want to print a phone number or I don't want to print the applicant's email address, I don't put anything there, but the word phone and email appears on the cover sheet. Mm-hmm. Is there some way we can eliminate that so that those headings or identifiers don't show up at all? Could we have
if that field is blank, where they could actually, where it just wouldn't show up at all?
That's correct.
I'm not sure what would be involved in making that happen, but I can definitely check into that. Now, the only problem is if the person puts a space in that, in the blank field, they actually put a space in there, which happens to us on some of the applications that we do. It would still show up at that point, but I'll check to see what would be involved in that.
And then the other thing is that on all those items, which start with assessment four, and then it's got a person's name and phone, email, position, company, all that, and then for more information, contact each individual franchise owner, all that information. Could we be able to move that around? Not around, but could we be able to put spaces between it? Because right now it prints, but you know it's all centered in the center. I'd like my contact information to be considerably lower, and I'd like to be able to. The Achiever is in very high font size, which I think is great. And I'd like some other things to be in very high font size, but I don't have any control over that.
On the first page, it's going to kind of be when we get the formatting corrected. It's going to be identical across the board. There's not a way we can customize that per each location, but what it should be, we should be able to move the contact information towards the bottom of the page.
Good.
And then we're going to bring down the Achiever information and kind of get it a little bit more towards the middle of it.
Good.
Instead of way up at the very top.
Thank you.
Along those lines, one of the things that I've seen is that the space allowance for the company name when the participant, the test taker is taking it,
mm-hmm.
The space allowance is too short.
Okay. I've had the same complaint, and that's being worked on regarding the email address.
Okay. I would say for a number of those spaces, there needs to be more room if they're going to appear. Otherwise, it's just not useful.
Exactly.
Like eliminate
okay.
it.
I believe now it may be limited to something like 20 characters, which is too low.
Thank you.
Yes.
Once again, I had a quick question for you. I have Adobe Acrobat 7.0 Professional.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm wondering is, you know, on the old assessment, you can convert that to a PDF and manipulate that entire thing within that format because it was not a secure document.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do the same thing with this particular Achiever once it's, if you put it and convert it into Adobe 7.0 Professional, can you have complete manipulation of the document?
I'm actually using 8, so I'm not sure. Actually I can say I was able to modify them even when I used version 4. So it is not going to be a secure document when you do a file and then print to the PDF, so you should be able to modify it.
So once you have, I have 7.0, you have 8, and you did it in 4.
I did.
So 7.0, you should be able to convert it and manipulate it.
Exactly. I'm kind of limited on the number of things I can change as far as, like, some of the graphics. I can't modify that. But as far as some of the text, you definitely can. You can definitely edit that front page in Adobe PDF.
And you can remove pages, too, if you want
to. Correct. And one other thing that you can do, I believe, I'm not sure if 7 does it, but after you create that PDF, you can then secure that document. So
yeah, 7 does it. It asks you if you want to secure it, then you secure it back, then asks you a password, then you secure the password, then you secure it again, then you email it out.
Exactly. That
yeah, they can't mess with it once you secure it back.
Yep.
You have to make sure that you also allow them to print it, because you can not allow them to print it either.
Yep.
On 7. But anyway, we won't get into that. All right. But I thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Does anyone else have any suggestions as far as the formatting of the report itself? Okay. Has anyone encountered any test takers that had any sorts of difficulty with the assessment? Either taking it or having a browser issue or anything? Okay. Let me give you a few little problem areas we'll sometimes encounter with somebody taking the assessments. The number one problem area that we have is usually involving America Online. What we actually have the test takers do, if they call us with the tech support question and they're using the America Online browser, we'll actually have them connect to America Online, minimize down the browser, and then open up Internet Explorer or Firefox in order to take the assessment. It's a little bit more reliable that way than the AOL browser. Let's see. Sometimes test takers can have issues with, depending on the firewall that they're using. Zone Alarm Pro tends to give us a little bit of difficulties in the timed sections where they're not able to actually submit their information. Let's see. Some test takers, when they're taking the assessment, they'll need to turn off their pop-up ad blocker if they have one running. It's usually a pretty easy process. Sometimes Norton will give us a little bit of problems, but we can address all that with the test takers when they call in on our tech support line. Okay. Does anybody have any other questions? Or any areas they want to address?
So I have a question. If we use an email similar to the format that you're going to suggest to us, would then it have your technical support number so that if they get stuck taking it online, they can call you?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, so we won't have to wear both hats?
No, we do not expect you to. Sometimes your clients may want to call you directly, but typically the test takers should call us. Because it's better for us to handle it, because we may know of some problem areas or some trends that we see that you may not be aware of. So we are definitely here to help you and your and the test takers and your clients. Okay, does anyone else have any questions or comments? Okay. All right. What we're going to do is let's just quickly discuss some of the different assessments. I believe last week Milt may have gotten into the executive achiever and the achiever and the sales achievers. So let's talk a little bit about credits. I know that some people had some questions about credits. Credits are used across the board. So if you ended up buying credits for an achiever, you could use them for the sales achiever or the guardian or the customer service performer. They're across the board accessible. So there's not like achiever credits and then sales achiever credits and then guardian credits. There's just credits. And I believe on the training website, I think it's got a breakdown of the different assessments and how many credits they are. Like the Executive Achievers, 27 credits, the Achievers, 19, Sales Achievers, 19, Guardian is 12, Customer Service Performer is 7, Production Performer 7, and the Scoreboard is 7. So does anyone have any questions regarding credits?
I got a quick one. Is there a fixed price per credit? The listing showed them based on which product you were buying.
Hi, Steve.
Yes.
This is Tammy at LMI.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi. I just wanted to, kind of go over this also.
Okay.
Currently, the way we have our pricing structure is that we are selling the assessment and transferring the appropriate amount of credit to the account for the assessments purchased. So that is the way our pricing structure is working right now. We are currently speaking with Milt on doing the purchases of credits in bulk so that the credits can be used, as needed. So I think that's where the confusion is coming from.
This is Adam Galakowski. I purchased $400 worth of credits.
You purchased the Achiever, right? You purchased 10 Achievers?
Yes, I think I was charged $400.
Right, which gave you enough credits to use to take 10 Achievers.
So that is 190 credits.
Correct.
Okay, then I could split those up any way I wish.
No, I think what Tammy's saying is that those 10 assessments are for 10 Achievers. Is that correct, Tammy?
That is correct.
Okay. Well,
so I cannot use those to do a Guardian.
Because you have purchased the assessment, the Achiever assessment, we request you use those credits for the Achiever.
Okay, but that's a request, but does that mean that I cannot use them for the Guardian or customer service or whatever?
Not the way it's structured today.
Okay.
Now, like I mentioned, we're currently speaking with we're in a negotiation process to try and work it out to where we can start purchasing credits in bulk, and that way you can use the credits the way you wish, as you wish.
And do you have a goal date for that to be accomplished?
We don't have a date set yet because the talk actually started yesterday. So as soon as we get more details, that will definitely be posted on the partner section of the website.
Just another quick question. So if I purchased a customer service performer unit, and let's say I bought 10 of those, I would be able to use those only for that purpose?
Correct.
Okay. And is the fee... I didn't figure out, I haven't divided all this yet to figure out what I'm paying for the use of one Achiever at 19 credits divided into $400. I guess what I'm saying is that when you open the thing up and we can use the credits for anything, then... I'm curious how you're going to charge us.
And that's what we're working on right now.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tammy.
You're welcome. I'm going to go ahead and mute.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, let's talk about some of the individual assessments themselves. We have an assessment called the Scoreboard, And basically what the scoreboard is it's the personality section of the achiever. It's only personality. We also have a product called the scoreboard with direct admissions, and that has the direct admissions, the honesty, the theft, drug use section in it. And that's used mainly for your entry-level and hourly job positions. We also sell something called the performer, and the performer's for entry-level and hourly jobs. Now, what it includes the personality dimensions, numerical perception, and I believe mental acuity is also in that. And that's used for such positions as customer service, a production or manufacturing job, and another assessment that's pretty closely related is called the Guardian. Now, the Guardian includes the a math section, the numerical perception section, and the mental acuity section, along with the personality section. And I believe it may also contain the direct admissions in it also. And that assessment is used quite a bit at different manufacturing companies. We also have a product called Best Hire. And Best Hire is basically just for entry-level, basic positions. It's kind of a job fit and dependability type assessment. And does anyone have any questions regarding the different assessments, whether or not they're these or the ones that Milt covered last week?
Well, this is Adam Golikowski again. You mentioned the production performer.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned customer service in that particular test.
Correct.
However, you have also a customer service performer. Are they the same test?
Yes, Adam. They are the same test. The only difference is the output, which it would be the report at the end of the test. The assessment that the individual takes, whether or not it's a customer service or a production performer, they're identical.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, does anyone have any other questions regarding the individual tests? Does anyone want to look at and see what these different tests look like?
I'd like to look at the customer service test.
Okay, let's see if we've got that online here. Let me look real quick for you. Okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to log into an account and pull up one of the customer service performers. So if everyone could, let's go to testingadmin.lmi-usa.com. So that's going to be testingadmin.lmi-usa.com, and then it's going to ask for an admin account code and a password. The admin account code is LMITEL, and the password is TELTAS.
T as in Paul or TAS?
It's T as in Tom, EL, P as in Paul, AS. And once again, those codes are going to be LMI, T as in Tom, EL, and the password's going to be T as in Tom, EL, P as in Paul, AS.
Can you repeat the website, please?
It's testingadmin.lmi-usa.com.
Thank you.
Can you repeat the website, please?
Yes, it's testingadmin.lmi. Excuse me?
Testing at?
No, it's testingadmin, T-E-S-T, ING, admin, admin, dot lmi, dash USA, dot com.
Would you go through those codes and passwords phonetically, please?
Absolutely. All right, it's Larry, Mary, I, Tom, E, Edward, L. So it's Larry, Mary, I, Tom, Edward, Larry. And then the password is Tom, Edward, Larry, Paul, Adam, Sam.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. After you enter your codes, it's going to bring you up to the admin section of the LMI assessment. Click on View a Test, and that will be on the top right area of the menu. And then for report type, select Customer Service Performer. And then click on View List of Reports. Should bring you up, you should see under select name, you should see, I believe, Jane Applicant. Go ahead and select Jane Applicant and then click on View Selected Report. And it should bring up the customer service performer report for you. And if you want to scroll down, I believe it's on page 3 of that report. It's almost towards the bottom. You'll see the score sheet, and you'll see that it includes math, perception, and the personality dimensions. And right above the score sheet, well, about a half a page up, you'll see where we also include the direct admissions. You'll see a history of dishonesty on that. And underneath that, we point out the actual question that the person was dishonest on. Well, they were honest, but it was they admitted to doing something wrong.
Is the test itself, again, is it similar to the other before you hire test that we had in the other systems? Or is the actual test itself different?
I'm not familiar with the other test,
okay. But
I can relate this to the Achiever, which I believe was similar to your profile.
It's exactly the same.
Yes, this has the same personality section, the same numerical perception section. It just adds in a math section and a direct admission section, and then eliminates the others.
Okay.
Could you give me the password again?
Yes, it's L is in Larry, M is in Mary, I-T-E-L, that's the account code, and then the password is T is in Tom, E is in Edward, L is in Larry, T is in Paul, A, S is in Sam. So it's going to be LMI tell and then tell pass.
I'm getting an incorrect count code.
Okay, let's see.
LMI T E L.
Uh huh.
L M I T E L. T-E-L-T-A-S.
No, it's T-E-L, P as in Paul, A-S.
P-A-S, okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then did it log you in? And then after you're logged in, go ahead and click on view a test, and then did it not work?
Nope, won't let me in.
Okay.
I've got a question about the score sheet.
Uh-huh.
The note about the dots and brackets.
Mm-hmm.
On this sample that we're looking at of Gene applicant, there are no dots and brackets. At least I can't see any.
Yes, there are not any unless we actually select a pattern itself. So we would have to select a job pattern in order to have the dots and the brackets on it, or pattern or benchmark, whichever way you want to refer to it.
Okay, okay, thank you.
All right. And on this one, we just selected a plain Jane generic.
What's the difference between this and the Achiever? Why is it that the Achiever has got more credits and this got less?
Well, the customer services for entry-level positions or manufacturing-type positions. We don't measure business terms. We don't measure mental acuity on this. We do not measure vocabulary, memory recall, business terms. This is just personality, math, and perception.
And can this be benchmarked too?
Yes, absolutely. All the assessments can be. Okay. And does anyone have any questions regarding this assessment or any of the others?
Do you have any marketing tool showing what each of these different tests can deliver and the benefits that it can deliver?
Well, let me look here. I believe I do, and I think it's on the training website maybe. Let me look here real quick.
Like if somebody wants something online to get acquainted with what it's capable of delivering, I mean, how does it send that?
Okay, what you would actually do is you can go to www.mylmi.biz and then click on assessments at the top of the screen.
Can you repeat that,
It's www.mylmi.biz. And when you go to that website, you can click on assessments, and then you can read different information regarding the different assessments. And if you click on various assessments on that website, it brings up a title for each one of the assessments, and you can click on that to get more information. You can actually even view the different reports themselves online. Does anyone have any other questions? Okay. All right, hold on. If you will hold 1 second, I'm going to get someone to answer the question earlier regarding the norms, I believe. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm back. The person that I was going to ask regarding the question from earlier, he is not in the office right now. So the person that had asked the question regarding, I believe, us removing, was it the comparative or something like that, if you could please send me an email, and let me give you all my email address and contact information. My email address is S as in Steve, B as in boy, U, R as in Robert, T as in Tom, at CRIW.com. Once again, my email address is sburt, B-U-R-T, at CRIW.com. And if you could direct that question
to... Can you please repeat that?
Okay, it's
S as in Steve.
Uh-huh. B as in boy, U, R as in Robert, T as in at C-R...
Well, after R, B-U-R...
T as in Tom,
mm-hmm.
at CRIW.com. Okay, so it's sbert at CRIW.com. And also, let me give you my direct line. You can call me at any time at 972-641-5494, extension 195.
What's the area code?
972. And our tech support number is, if you have someone that needs to reach tech support, they can also dial extension 5 instead of 195. And if they need to speak with me, they can find me in the office also. And if you could just direct that question to, just restate your question, and I will get the information for you, and we will address it. I'll send you back an email regarding the question. I'll send you back the answer, and we'll also address it for the next teleconference. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions or comments or want to address anything at all?
I've gone through this assessment, and the content that they've given is very, very small. Is there something more detailed?
That would be something that I'll have to research for you. I'm not really involved with sales, so I'm not sure what other materials they have, but I will research that information, and we'll address it on the next teleconference, or you can send me an email.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Steve, this
yes.
is Jerry Siegel. Why didn't the customer service performer score sheet not print properly?
Is it not showing up?
I only have about 7/8 on the page as printed.
Oh, when you print it out on the printer?
Yes.
Okay. I will check into that and see why that is occurring. And we'll get that corrected right away for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve, can I ask you a question quickly before you leave?
Absolutely.
This is Linton Bergson. I had a quick question on things not printing out, not fitting on the page, and things of this nature. If you take the results and you convert them to PDF, does that pretty much fix that?
As long as you're printing, well, now we've got the, I know on the Achiever it's supposed to work fine.
Right.
And the way I do it on mine is I'll set all my margins to 0.3. So
okay.
Top, left, right, and bottom will all be 0.3.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will, I'll turn off the headers and footers, and then when I print, directly from the admin. So what I'm doing is I go in, I select the name, I pull up the report with the benchmark that I want, then I go file print. It comes out exactly as if I would print it out right then in the PDF. So I usually don't have any formatting issues on the Achiever when I print it to a PDF.
Okay.
And actually, you're not supposed to have any issues with any of the others, but I need to go in and check them since we've had it brought to our attention that the customer service performer is not printing the score sheet properly.
All right, thank you.
Now, let me address one thing. I have noticed sometimes on my Achiever, I'll get probably 95% of them will print perfect. On some of them, I'll have a little bit of going on to the next page, and that depends on how much text was actually loaded based on the different scores. But 95% of the time, maybe even higher, it does print properly, though, on the Achiever itself. And if any of y'all have any problems or any formatting issues, please bring those to our attention because different browsers, different setups can create different problems, and we'd like to get it as close to perfect as possible.
I'm printed fine.
Okay. And that was on the customer service performer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Now, we can go back to his website anytime and put in that password and look at different reports?
Yes, that is set up for y'all to use.
Okay.
It gives you samples to look at there. That way you can view it. Because some of these assessments you may or may not ever use. It's nice to be able to easily access one if you need to show it to someone. Because on the account that I mainly use, It's all Achievers. I don't use a lot of the other stuff just based on the type of customer that I'm servicing at that time.
Steve, is Tammy still on the line?
I'm not sure. Tammy, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
It's Diana. As far as response time, since we're now purchasing the credits, specific positions, how's it going to work? In other words, can I respond to somebody immediately and then call you and say I need 27 units for an executive achiever?
As far as transferring, purchasing and transferring the credits to your online administrative account?
Right.
That's
yeah.
Per immediately when you call.
Okay.
That's my understanding. I don't know. I'll have to check with customer service to see if there is a turnaround time. Especially during, you know, busy times and inventory and things like that. But I can definitely send you an email with the answer for that. So,
okay. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tammy. Let me address one thing. I'm not sure if this may help with your question. You could have zero credits in your account and people can still take assessments. And it's set up by design. You are only charged when you view an assessment. You're never charged just for someone coming in to take it. So let's say you have a hot prospect that wants to take a test right then. You don't have to call customer service and worry about the credits until you're actually ready to view it. So you can still have them get in there and take that assessment. Just for you to turn the report, you have to have the credits at that point.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions? Okay. I'd like to thank all of y'all. And remember, you can contact me at any time. I'm here to help y'all. And I will address some of the issues and questions that were brought up. And also, if you have any additional comments, please feel free to contact me, whether it's by phone or email. I'm here to help y'all. And if there's nothing else, I'd like to go ahead and close this teleconference and hope that everyone has a great weekend. And thank you very much.